We've got a hep cat who thinks language is the cat's pajamas, and he's here to share some vintage American slang that could maybe make a comeback.
Grant Barrett joins us now. He's a lexicographer and co-host of Away With Words. You can hear him Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. Grant, welcome back to the show.
Hey there. How you doing?
Pretty good. Well, Rob and I have been having a lot of fun today dropping some of this mid-20th century slang, and we're wondering where you came up with this stuff.
Well, one of the things I like to do to keep up with language is actually see how much it's changed. So there is a brilliant article that I found from a St. Louis newspaper from 1901, and it's an article called A Dictionary of Everyday 20th Century Slang, and it's a giant broadsheet page of slang, a lot of it having to do with the seedier side of life, boxing and horse races and gambling and drinking and that sort of thing.
The sort of places that slang kind of congregates. Well, we're going to go around picking some of our favorites from your list of 100-year-old slang, and we want to make a case that some of this should come back. And I think we've all done some research and picked some of our favorites. Grant, can you start us off with one from your list that you would like to see come back?
Yeah, I love the term cabbage for a bad cigar. Have you ever been in a public place where you smelled the nastiest cigar ever and it did not smell like tobacco burning? I think a cabbage cigar is exactly the right term. Apparently, that was a term that they used.
And I imagine at a horse racing facility, that's where you might smell some serious cabbage going on.
Yeah, the nickel cigars that aren't worth the nickel.
I really like cut some ice because it sounds kind of saucy. Well, that horse can really cut some ice.
Yeah, it's got kind of a, it almost sounds like things that we have today, like other idioms that we've got that mean to be good, to be successful, to be the right on the job, to be doing the right thing. Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know why cut some ice, though. Perhaps that was a particular profession that required skill. I don't really know.
Yeah, some serious, yeah, you'd want ice for your ice box. Somebody's got to cut it. I don't
know. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, here was mine. It's not my favorite on the list, but I think it would have the best prospects for a comeback. NG for no good.
I knew you would zero in on that. One of you would pick that. I knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it turns out that about 100 years ago, NG for no good was just about as popular as okay. And so you would find it in the notations on a letter, perhaps, or, you know, imagine holding your racing form and your horse doesn't finish, right, doesn't place, and you put an NG next to it. So next time you remember not to bet on that horse or that jockey, NG for no good. And even better, it fits into our Twitter world and into our text messaging lifestyle.
Yeah, the OMGs and the TMIs and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, youthful people listening today, I'll include our producers there. NG, no good. Use it.
And it's close to NP, which I've seen, no problem.
No problem.
So if you've got NG and NP, you've got...
And JK, we're just kidding.
JK. We really don't need vowels anymore, do we?
We need them, but we've always had... We're humans. We've always made shorthands for things. That's the human trait. You can look at cuneiform tablets and find that they would decide not to fully spell out the word sheep, and they would just put a couple characters to indicate sheep. So abbreviations have been with us for a very long time.
The takeaway is that humans are lazy, apparently.
No. We're efficient.
We're efficient.
Okay. Sometimes we over-optimize to the point that there's no more clarity left. But yeah, we're looking for efficiency.
All right. Hit us with another one of your favorites that you think might come back, Grant.
Well, you know, this is kind of like the cutting the ice. Somebody who's your hot cup of tea. Somebody who fills all the requirements. Maybe a job candidate is a hot cup of tea, or maybe a paramour or a lover is a hot cup of tea.
Rob is
what the doctor
his
ordered.
Tea right now.
Yeah, that's a little subliminal thing there. I just filled my hot cup of tea.
My tea is tepid. Is there a corollary for tepid cup of tea?
I've got one myself right here, yeah. There's another one on here, and this one probably will be familiar to our older listeners, and this is the term glad rags to refer to your best clothes, your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, or your glad rags. And the reason I like this one is I think it's recently enough kind of fallen out of use that it could be resuscitated with very little effort.
That's one of the few that I had heard before was glad rags on this 100-year-old slang list. So,
but I bet it was from like your grandmother or an old auntie or something.
Probably
like
so, yeah.
And speaking of old aunties, one that I thought was sort of funny, the word blanket gets a lot of play on this list. I mean,
well,
I have some new blankets and then you're really straining the blanket. I really can't see anyone saying that and not being laughed out of the house by their friends.
Yeah, well, I have to admit I put a few on the list here just because they're pretty far out. But yeah, a blanket is a new suit of clothes. clothes. Check out my new pair of blankets. Okay, maybe. And then the other blanket. What was the other blanket here?
Strain the blanket or stretch the blanket.
Yeah, so you're stretching the truth. You're straining the blanket. I don't know what that means. I'm imagining somebody leaping from a burning building, and they don't have the fireman's trampoline. They've just got a blanket. It's just too much for it. I don't know. I don't really know.
Here's one. Oh. Go ahead, Grant.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
All right, here's one that Veronica couldn't get behind. Kidneys as a thing for, like, grit or courage. Like, we might use guts or one unmentionable anatomical part.
I feel like there's another anatomical part that people are more likely to say.
He's not the strongest guy out there, but he's got some serious kidneys.
Yeah, I like it. I think this comes from boxing because a favorite thing to do, particularly if you're a mean fighter, is to punch somebody in the kidneys.
Mm.
So if you've got kidneys that can take it, you must have a lot of courage to keep standing there and taking it rather than just going to the mat and just calling it done.
Yeah, I don't know.
Might be too evocative. I don't know.
I'm right there until kidneys.
One other one on the list that I put on here because, again, it's relatively recently enough that it's fallen out of use that I could be resuscitated, and this is Fizz, P-H-I-Z, Fizz. And this is for your face. It's short for physiognomy, and it just refers to your mug. Or another one on the list, your dial. And you can probably get why your face is called the dial, right?
Like the face of a clock.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty straightforward. Face, mug, fizz, dial.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. You can get it, like, get out of my fizz, person.
Yeah, you back off from my dial.
Like the Cats and Jammer Kids cartoons. It's the kind of language that our comics, that's the kind of language that would show up there all the time.
Well, here's a good one for pledge drive, Grant. There are a zillion for money. What are some of the money slangs you came up with?
You know, you could write a book, and it has been done. I don't remember his name, but the book has been done on money slang. Oh, which one are you looking at here? You're looking at Cush?
Cush was one, yeah.
Yeah, C-U-S-H, but there's a whole bunch. Lucre, the necessary, dust as in gold dust. Doreen, also I think coming from a word meaning golden. Dough, stuff, lengthy green, pile, and yellow. Now, I could have made a whole separate list, which would be a list of slang that actually has lasted 100 years. And that kind of list is the kind of thing when I talk in high schools, I love to share with them. And their school-age minds are blown to find out that people 100 years ago also called money dough. It's just kind of big news to them because it seems contemporary and modern, doesn't it?
Huh.
It does. But where does the yellow come from?
Yeah.
The which one?
The yellow.
One to refer to money is yellow.
Maybe gold?
I think that's also gold, yeah.
Gold. Oh, that's how old it is, right.
So if you imagine a golden coin, which they don't make anymore.
I've never seen.
It doesn't come up much these days.
No Cougarans getting your paycheck, huh?
Not normally. Maybe Rob's.
There's a whole bunch on the list, and I didn't share this with you, but like, for example, Eat Crow has got a long, long history. It's just a meaning to eat your own words, more or less. Or bug means somebody who's a little off kilter, maybe even crazy or loony. To say somebody has a bum wing, they still use that in baseball. It means they've got a hurt arm or injured elbow.
Huh.
There's a ton of these that are just still with us today.
I kind of like on a skate to me, drunk.
Oh, yeah, because you can see on a skate, you can see the drunk person weaving down the street like they just have a skate on one foot and they're trying to keep their balance, right?
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. And the weirdest one on the list, and I put this on here just kind of a puzzle for the two of you, is nibs. And it's because it's used weird. And so I might talk to you and how's nibs this fine morning, meaning you are nibs. It's just kind of like Mac or buddy or pal, just this term you use for somebody kind of in a false way to speak highly of them or to speak as if they're some kind of quasi-royalty. And nibs, what would you like for dinner? Or his nibs or your nibs or your royal nibs?
That's excellent. I like nibs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're going to be nibs from now on.
Oh, great. Thanks. That'll be great. Here's one I don't believe was really slang. I think somebody got their leg pulled here. Biscuit shooter as restaurant slang for a waiter or a waitress. Usually not a second-rate one, according to this. Do you think people really use that?
You have really good instincts. At least they're allied with mine, which must be they're very good. When I see lists of diner slang, and this stuff crosses my email all the time, and it shows up in books and people write articles about it, almost all of the diner slang exists only in those lists, and there's no evidence that it was ever used.
Uh-huh.
Much of it we believe to have been manufactured simply for the entertainment of customers or for the entertainment of lexicographers who are out there gathering language. But it's really hard to prove. But biscuit shooter was just too fun to leave off.
Yeah.
Can you imagine there's a place in Sykeston, Missouri, where they have throwed rolls. These are literally rolls that they will throw you across the room. So that's what I was thinking of when I included biscuit or shooter. There are places in the country where they would throw your bread at you.
I'm okay with that. I like biscuits.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah, me too. A little gravy, a little white gravy.
Can't go too wrong.
Don't throw the gravy, though.
All right. Well, Grant, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, sure. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
That was Grant Barrett from Away With Words, and you can hear the show Sunday mornings at 9 here on the Ideas Network.
You can pick up the mission, spread the slang we've been using, and you can tell us about how you use it at the Central Time Facebook page.